and he was booked to speak for two Sundays. The last Sunday that he spoke there, just before he got up to speak, the chairman asked, is there anybody that had a favorite that they would like to sing? And Claude said, let's sing Face to Face. And when he got up to speak, he said, for some reason or other, the Lord has spoken to me and challenged me to speak on heaven. And the next Saturday, I got a phone call, and I was told that Claude was gone to glory. And I couldn't take that in, because Claude was never sick. He was always so healthy and strong and full of vim and vinegar and vitality, and I couldn't really believe that Claude was gone until I saw his body in the casket. But face to face, that's the memories that come back to me every time we sing that. This evening, I would like to speak on the subject of drawing close to God through suffering. Drawing close to God through suffering. Let's just commit our time to the Lord. Father, we come to you now in the precious name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we ask your blessing, your guidance, as we look into your word, that you would speak to our hearts and bless us and encourage us to walk closer to you each day. We commit ourselves to you now with grateful thanksgiving in Jesus' worthy name. Amen. Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to the book of Revelation. Revelation, we're going to read the first chapter. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to show his servants things which must shortly take place, and he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ and to all things that he saw. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness and firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sin in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, and they also who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. I, John, both your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was on the island that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and what you see, write in a book, and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamos, to Thyatira, to Sardis, to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea. Then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet, girded about with the chest with a golden band. His head and his hair were like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice was the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand 7 stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun, shining in its strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he said, but he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death. Write the things which you have seen, and the things which are, and the things which will take place after this. The mystery of the 7 stars which you saw in my right hand, and the 7 golden lampstands. The 7 stars are the angels, and the 7 churches, and the 7 lampstands which you saw are the 7 churches. And the Lord will add a blessing to the reading of his word. The Apostle John was banished on the lonely, rocky island called Patmos for the sake of the Word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. This banishment was certainly not a pleasant experience for John, but the experience that John had while there were, to put it mildly, out of this world. John was having a real tough time of it. This rocky island is just a barren place with hardly any vegetation on it, no people, and John is there alone. I'm sure he must have suffered. There was no fast food outlets, and he had to scrounge for whatever he could come up with to feed himself. The Lord Jesus Christ himself revealed himself to John personally, and revealed the future to him in a remarkable way. In this most fascinating book of Scripture, the Almighty Sovereign Lord God reveals the final events and outcome of this world and the people who have inhabited it for the entire and the entire universe God has created. God himself pronounces a blessing on those who read and keep the words of this divine book, as recorded in chapter 1, verse 3, and chapter 22, verse 19, warns us about adding anything to it or taking away from the words of this book. John writes to the 7 churches of Asia, not as an apostle, but as one with the suffering saints and the martyrs. He joins himself to them in the same context that they were experiencing trials and difficulties. John relates to them very well in the trials and difficulties he was experiencing. But the experience that John had on Patmos allowed John to draw near to the heart of God in a very unique and powerful way, like he had never experienced before. And you recall that when John and the Lord was on earth, John was a favored disciple, and he had the privilege of leaning on our Lord's breast. But the experience that John had on this rocky island, he was able to draw nearer to God and to see him in all his glory. Turn with me, please, to the book of James. James chapter 1. We'll start reading at verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. We are to count it all joy when we fall into various trials. Now, that doesn't sound like the kind of thing that we would normally want to have happen in our lives. We're quite happy to avoid all the problems we can avoid. But James tells us to count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Trials that come into our lives are ordered by the Lord, that they are always for a purpose. When the Lord allows trials to come into our life, they don't just happen by accident. They are for a purpose. Verse 3 tells us that the trials we face develop patience. And verse 4 tells us that when we have let patience work in us to completion, that we mature and lack nothing. I'm going to tell you a little story about a person, that a lady that used to be at Hillside Bible Chapel. Her name was Rita Irvine. And any of you who have been there, you will know that the stairs coming up from downstairs upstairs, there are 22 steps to come up that long stairway. We didn't have an elevator in those days. There is one now. But Rita was a lady, a dear lady, and she had a crippled leg. And I was at the top of the steps one day, and here she was coming up one step at a time and bringing this crippled leg up along with her. And I said to her when she got to the top, "Rita, you must have great patience that you can put up with this." She always had a happy, joyful smile on her face, and she was just overflowing with bubbly joy in her life. And I said, "You must have great patience." And she just chuckled and said, "Oh, the Lord is good to me." And I said, "Well, I wish I had that kind of patience. Because, you know, I'm the kind of a guy that, Lord, I need patience and hurry up about it." But she says, "Oh, the Lord will teach you patience as well." The next day I was going to an elders meeting on my motorcycle, and I had an accident and chewed up my right leg and my right arm rather badly, and went to the hospital and got all bandaged up. And she phoned me. She says, I heard that you had an accident. And she said, I'm really sorry. What I said to you yesterday, I didn't mean that the Lord should start right now and start working on you." But we need to develop patience. And it's not easy, especially for men. But when we have let patience work in us to completion, we mature and we lack nothing, as is told us in Scripture. There are a number of people in Scripture who went through times of suffering that God allowed in their lives in order to draw them close to Himself. We read about the Apostle John. Although suffering alone on the island of Patmos, he learned and developed greatly his relationship with God through the revelation of him on the island of Patmos. If John hadn't been there on that lonely island, I don't know whether the Lord would have spoken to him in this way, in any other way or not, but I think God arranged this so that John would be on the island of Patmos, so that God could deal with him personally and draw him close to himself and reveal all this wonderful book that we have. Think about Abraham. Just think of the agony of mind and heart that this aged father must have endured after God told him in Genesis 22 to take his only son, Isaac, and to offer him as a burnt offering on a mountain that God would show him. Abraham obeyed immediately. He didn't wait for a few days to think about it. The next morning he was up and at it and on his way to the mountain, not even knowing just where that was, but God showed him the mountain and his son walking with him. Just think of the turmoil that must have endured as he and his promised son traveled together to the mountain of sacrifice, then as they built the altar together. And here's Abraham and his son. Son didn't know what was going to happen. But then Abraham bound his son and laid him on the altar. How much that must have been wrenched in his heart and his soul. How difficult. But then God stepped in at the last moment and resolved that issue by providing a lamb or a ram for the sacrifice. But Abraham was prepared to do anything for God. There's a great lesson to be learned from Abraham. Are we prepared to go through that kind of anguish that Abraham went through before God stepped in and drew near and provided a sacrifice? The treatment, let's think about Joseph for a few minutes. The treatment that Joseph received from his brothers, these brothers, they weren't too kind to him at all. They put him in a pit and then thought, well, we can make some profit out of this guy. We'll dig him out of here and sell him to some Midianites. But then Joseph arrives in Egypt and ended up in prison, falsely accused and falsely imprisoned. But he suffered greatly. But he became the revealer of secrets and drew very near to God through suffering. Think about Moses for a few moments. Moses had to run away from Egypt and escape to the backside of the desert. And here he is in the wilderness, tending sheep in the backside of the desert. And he met God himself at the burning bush. Moses wasn't having an easy time of it either. He didn't have somebody delivering food to him every day. He was suffering. But through that, Moses was able to draw near to God in an incredible way. And God spoke to him as man to man. There's not anybody else that I know of in Scripture where we're told that he spoke to God face to face. What an incredible experience for Moses. But think of what he had to go through in all his suffering and experiences. Even after the 40 years that he was away, then comes back, and for 40 years he's got these Israelites, and they didn't give him an easy time either. But through it all, the Lord took Moses to himself. And what an experience that man had. Then there was Daniel. Faithful Daniel. Faithful to God, he found himself cast into a den of lions. But God was with him and protected him through this dangerous and hazardous trial that he went through. Then there was the three guys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were faithful to God in spite of strong opposition and refused to bow down to that big image that Nebuchadnezzar set up, a 90-foot-tall image. And these three young men were faithful to God. And because they were cast into a fiery furnace. But when Nebuchadnezzar had a look at that in there, he saw these three men walking around in that furnace, and there was another one with them that had the likeness, he says, of the Son of God. These three men drew very near to the God himself in the midst of the trials and troubles that they were going through. Can you imagine what it was like when they came out of that? They didn't even have the smell of smoke on them. And what kind of an experience was that in their lives for the rest of their life? I'm sure that experience of being drawn close to the Lord in the fiery furnace had a tremendous effect on the lives of those three young men forever. Then we think of David. David, in his rejection and constant hounding by King Saul, in his attempts to kill David, but God was with David every day and night, and he developed into the sweet singer, and eventually the king of Israel. God called him a man after his own heart. But David had to go through a harrowing experience for a number of years along the way before he could draw near to God. And as you read the Psalms, you can see that David had a close relationship with God, and he expresses that in so many wonderful ways. Think of the Apostle Paul. God said to him immediately after his conversion, "I will show him how much he will suffer for my sake." And just think of the sufferings that the Apostle Paul went through. He was shipwrecked. He was beaten. He was stoned. And one time they thought that they had stoned him to death. But the Lord was with him and he revived again. He was imprisoned, beaten, and in stocks. Man, that he certainly suffered. But I don't know of anyone that had a closer relationship with the Lord than the Apostle Paul. There were few other than the Apostle Paul who had a closer experience and relationship and fellowship with the Lord. And he says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, being conformed to his death. Paul was even willing to be likened unto our Lord's death. Paul did not regret or even attempt to avoid the suffering, as he could say in Philippians 3:10-16, in order to draw near and to really know Christ and the power working in his life, he was willing to suffer and even be made like Christ in his death. Suffering, I don't know how you could face the suffering that that man went through and still carry on in such a powerful way unless God was with him. He drew very near to God through his suffering. I have three questions. The first one, when in your lifetime have you drawn closest to God in a most powerful way? When have you drawn closest to God in your lifetime in a powerful way? Not many of us have mountaintop experiences like Peter, James, and John on the Mount of Transfiguration, where they saw Jesus Christ in all his radiant glory. And I can only recall one occasion in my lifetime. It was at Estes Park in Colorado. We were at a conference there, and it was a breaking of bread time. And when this happened, it was silent. No one was praying. No one was ministering. We weren't singing. There was just a short period of silence when the power of the presence of God came into that room, that auditorium, and it was just almost overwhelming. It was a mountaintop experience. There were some who were weeping silently. There were godly men that were out of their seats and on their knees on the floor. And it was just overwhelming, the experience and the presence of God. Not many of us ever have those kind of experiences in life. But most of us have drawn closest to the Lord in times of difficulty and trials and troubles. Like John, Moses, Joseph, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, David and the Apostle Paul, and Abraham. It was times of trials that they drew closer to the Lord than ever. And I think if you think back in your lifetime as well, it may have been in some kind of a trial or a tragedy, maybe even the loss of a loved one, when you committed yourself to the Lord in a powerful way and he drew near to you and was with you. And as you come through that, you realize that the Lord was with me through all this difficulty. Those are the times I feel when we have been drawn closest to the Lord through affliction and suffering, even the death of a loved one. Turn with me, please, to James chapter 4. James chapter 4, verse 8. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Just that phrase, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Do I have a deep burning desire to draw near to God, to really get to know him in a personal and intimate way? It's up to us to draw near to God. Hebrews 13 and 5 tells us, our Lord says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He never leaves us. If we feel that we are not close to God in a personal and intimate way, it's not his fault. Who moved? Well, it's likely me. It's us. It's not that we are, if we drift away, Hebrews tells us too that we have to watch out that we do not drift away. And if we are drifting away from the presence of the Lord every day in our lives, we need to yank ourselves up by the bootstraps and say, what's going on here? What have I done? It's not that we are maybe doing anything drastically wrong, but just drifting a little. Hebrews 2 and 1, drifting is a gradual event. It doesn't, we just don't take a flying leap and we're away from the Lord. We just drift away gradually. We need to be careful not to drift. We need to draw near to God, and he will draw near to us. If we are not as close to our Lord as we should be, maybe it's because there's sin in our lives. If we have sin in our lives, we don't lose our salvation, as I mentioned this morning, but we lose our fellowship, our closeness to the Lord. Sin in our life as a believer never causes us to lose our salvation, because God assures us that when he says in 1 John 5, 11 to 13, that he has given us eternal life. And John 10, 28 and 29, the Lord Jesus says, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone pluck them out of my hand. My Father has given them me, and he is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. But if we have lost our joy, the joy of fellowship with our Lord, it may be caused by either drifting or by some sin in our lives. But that can be corrected, as 1 John 1, 9 says, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We confess our sin to a loving, compassionate, forgiving God, not to a priest in some booth. I'll tell you a little funny story. We were going to Pennsylvania one time with Jack and Bev, and as we were going along, Marion Loney was with us, and she was telling us of some things that she had done that she wasn't proud of. So I stopped her and said, Marion, we have a special today, 3 sins for $5. So she got kind of a chuckle out of that. But our Lord is a loving, compassionate God, and if there is anything in our lives that is hindering our fellowship with Him, our joy is not there, we need to come to Him and make it right and have our joy restored. The first question was, when in your lifetime have you drawn closest to God? I suppose the next question is, am I satisfied with the life I am now living for the Lord, or are there improvements that need to be made in my relationship to God? The Apostle Paul was much further ahead in his relationship with the Lord than we are, but we read in Philippians 2:12-16, Paul says that even he had not made it yet in his relationship and closeness to God, but he wasn't giving up his quest. He says, I press on, in verse 12, and in verse 14, I press on. He wasn't giving up. He was working at it to draw closer to the Lord each day. Is that my desire in my life? Am I satisfied, or am I content just to drift along until the Lord calls me home? The final question is God satisfied with my life and the relationship that I have with Him? If God is not satisfied with my progress, if I'm not pressing on in my relationship to Him and growing every day, then He may deem fit to bring more trials and difficulties in my life until I finally submit myself totally to Him. I trust that the Lord will draw each one of us into a closer, joy-filled relationship with Him, because in His presence is fullness of joy. Let's pray. Father, we praise You and thank You for Your wonderful love, Your mercy, Your grace, and all Your blessings to us. Thank You for Your Son, the Lord Jesus. He desires that we build a firm relationship with Him. Father, we're going to spend eternity with Him. How much better to get to know Him better every day here as we live on this earth. Help us to commit ourselves to You, Lord, and commit our lives to You, that You may receive the glory, that we may live in joy of the relationship that we have with You, the living God, so that we can share our joy with others and that they can be encouraged. We just commit ourselves to You now, Father, and ask Your blessing on each one. Be with us this week. We ask these things in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Now, I was going to have us sing 358 in the hymnal. I am Thine, O Lord. I have heard Thy voice. 358. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to the cross where Thou hast died. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to Thy precious wounded side. Just the first verse and the chorus. Thank you. The Lord bless you. It's been great to be here again with you folks in Edmiston. It's always a joy to come home. That's how I feel when we come home.